Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. So we worship you this morning. I have the Lord with gladness in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what discouragement this world brings to us, Lord, they cannot take away our joy. Scripture says, my joy I give unto you, my peace I give with you. So we have it, and no devil can take it away from us. So we thank you this morning for the joy of the Lord. That is our daily strength today and all eternity. We worship you, Lord. As we read the scripture this morning, we trust you, Lord, to bless the reading thereof, Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we worship and we adore you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So in the world that we are living in today, they want everything and but the word of God, you know. Life, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Bible says it deceived the whole world. So, and you know, it has to shut down the, you know, the Christianity and the word of God, but they can't do it. That letter is still letter. So they have put all kinds of things out about the creation and so on, about how man was here, how man got here and so on like that. At every opportunity we have, we must talk and tell the whole story. Praise the Lord. So this morning, the creation of man. So atheists and so on, they have put on their theories and so on, lying, wonders, lying, false science and so on like that, you know. And as if to in America and so on, many decades ago, they take the Bible out of the schools and so forth, so the real truth will not be heard. Now they can freely teach evolution and all this kind of evil and satanic and doctrine of devils, you know. So once in a while, at every opportunity we have, we sound the alarm, we sound it, we proclaim the truth. So this morning, the creation of man. Genesis 2 tells us the whole story, the 7th verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That is the truth. That's how God created him. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. No matter what propaganda, no matter what other life can tell, that is how God created man, really. Many centuries later, the psalmist, writing in Psalm 103, talking of all the goodness of the Lord, talking about not to forget all his benefits. And he told us about God still remember even of our weaknesses and so forth. And in Psalm 103, verse 14, for he, meaning the Lord, knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, you know. So he didn't forget how he created us. Praise the Lord. You know, so he have mercy upon his people. So according to the scripture, God breathed his own breath into man, and man became a living soul. See? We notice, after the Lord rose from the dead, he did the same kind of a thing to the people, the disciples, and so forth. Bible says he breathed on his disciples that they might receive the Holy Ghost. That is in John 20:22, when he rose from the dead. And when he had said it, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And when he did that, that the breath of Jesus is the same breath of God that he breathed in Adam in the beginning. See? That was the breath of God. Because we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God was in Christ. So the same God who breathed that breath of life into Adam is the same breath he breathed upon the disciples that day after he rose from the dead. So Adam, upon awakening from that creation and so on, that you know, to consciousness of life, found himself in the garden of unsurpassed beauty, which the Lord had prepared for him. Before he came here, before God made him, God has made preparation for his existence. Praise God. He has prepared the way for him to live and so on, that you know. That's in Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is planted cater to the size. Not any kind of a tree, but a beautiful place, beautiful thing and so on. Bible says, cater to the eye and some of that, you know. If God says it's pleasant, it means it's pleasant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, well, we don't know the precise geographical location of Eden, we don't know it. But the Bible gave us an insight or a inkling of where it is located. Why do you want to know? Well, I want to know everything that God can be known about the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so he gave us an inkling of where it might be, you know. For example, he gave us the name of the rivers which are in that area. That is given in Genesis 2, verse 10. And I want to read that. Talking about creation of man and so on, that, you know. Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from then it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the fourth is Python. That is it, which compassed the old land of Havilah, where there is gold. Verse 12 says, and the gold that was in that land, and the gold of that land is good. And there is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. No, remember Daniel and son of that, you know, Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So, given all those descriptions, we can look at the geography of the world today, and then we can see that description. We put the Garden of Eden somewhere in what you call the Lower Mesopotamia. Tamia, rather. Lower Mesopotamia. Where is that? You know? And that will be around the area of Iraq. Praise the Lord. That's why it is and so on, that, you know. Given that description the Bible gave us, that's around Iraq. By the way, the Bible calls, you know, refers to Mesopotamia many places in the Bible. And the Greek meaning of that word, Mesopotamia, actually a land or between two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. That's why Iraq is, right? So we see that it's in the area where the garden was, you know. So just in passing and so on, that, you know. So for the account of man's creation, it is evident that God did not create man to a life of idleness, you know. Before he got here, he already created a garden and so on, that, you know. Man wasn't created to be idle, you know. But, you know, he gave him responsibility. Once he created him, he gave man responsibility. That's in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we notice that, very important, that God didn't create man for idleness and so on. The garden, as the scripture has said, had been planted by the Lord. The Lord did it. But that garden needed to be tended and to take care of. So the trees require trimming, just like today, and dressing. In more the same way that an horticulturalist we perform his duty today, as we see them around the, you know, around the world and so on. You know, the only thing we know is that we don't know what tool that Adam used. We don't know what kind of tool they used to dress the garden. Praise the Lord. God didn't tell us that. You know, I just enjoy just reading the Bible and go through the history and so forth, the creation and so on of man and so on, you know. So we don't know what tool he used, but he dressed the garden anyway, as God ordained. So we can be sure of some things that are different in today than when God created that garden first. We can be sure Adam needs no insecticides, amen? Praise the Lord. He didn't need any insecticides at all, you know? Not at all. Nor was the garden infested with thorns and thieves, you know? And there are no weeds in there at all, you know. All those times, since we see today and weeds, they came after the call. Praise the Lord. They did. And we can see the Bible in Genesis 3:17, where come the thorn and the thistles. It's after the call. In Genesis 3:17, and also Adam is said, cause is the ground for thy sake. You know, that's where the thorn and the thistles came to the world. Not in the original garden of Eden. And he said, thorns also, and these two shall they bring forth to thee, you know. You see the beauty of the garden how beautiful it is. Everything the Lord created, the Bible says, thought that it is good. So until the curse came, there was no thought, there was no tease, it was a delight for him to do the garden and so on and that. You know? So, the care of the garden under such an ideal condition could only be a pleasure to Adam before the curse. It was all beautiful and very pleasant and so on and that. You know? Indeed, only after the curse did even have to sweat. There was no sweating to eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how, can you imagine such a paradise? Only after the curse did he have to really sweat. That's in Genesis 3:19. In the sweat, that's in the curse right now, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. If he was sweating before, God won't say that. In the dressing and keeping of the garden in the original before this, there was no sweating at all. It was a delight, you know. If he was sweating and so on, God won't say such a thing in 3:19. So anyway, the various trees before the curse yielded their fruits at the succession of the season, giving Adam and Eve a balanced diet all the year round. The original garden of Eden and so forth. You know, the climate was always moderate and refreshing and gently changed with the passing of the season. Like we have right now, we are passing from one time to the other and so on. But back then, it was beautiful, perfect weather. There were no storms there was no storms at all, you know. There was even no rainfall at all, you know. There was no rainfall. Can you imagine that? You see where the Bible, Genesis 2:5. Bible says, for the Lord God has not caused it to rain upon the earth. No storms, no rain. Verse 6 says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful paradise and first coming again. At the coming of the Lord, you know, and so on, the ages to come. So the evening was spoken of in that time as the cool of the day. And we can contrast that to the warmer period of the afternoon. So compared to the evening was cool and refreshing. You know, as the Bible says, it's and so on, that, you know. We can begin to see, between the lines, it is in the cool of the day that God will visit Adam, for example, according to the Bible. It was undoubtedly during this evening visit that God caused the animals to pass before him to see what Adam will have them called. That is in Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So what are we learning from this thing that the Lord did to the first man or earth and so on? So we see that right from the beginning, God permitted Adam to exercise a certain initiative. God gave him responsibility and also to exercise a certain initiative. For example, Adam, by creation, must have possessed a high intelligence. We are designing the man, the original man that God created. He had to have a high intelligence. Otherwise, how could he number all those animals? Maybe thousands of them and so on. Yet he gave them names. So God created man with a very high intelligence. So in order to be able to give appropriate names to the hundreds and perhaps thousands of different species. So can you see the perfect man that God created when he created Adam in the garden? Was a perfect man. So he had high intelligence. He could name the thousands of the animals you see today and so on. But, you know, the number there, God asked him to do that and so on. Perfect situation. He created a garden for him. Perfect. No thorns in there, no thistles there. He has a great delight in tending to the garden and keeping it, and he was joyful and so forth, that, you know. What a perfect scenario and so on, that, you know, that God gave that man. So, and later, we notice that when Adam named his wife, what did he call him? He called her name Eve. And I mean that it means life giver, because she was the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20. This morning, welcome our sister, talking about the creation of man. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. trying to spread the news everywhere, what God did in the beginning, how man got here, and so on. That you know, let the pseudoscience take the world over where they are doing it almost before it's time. You know, the world is being deceived. They took the Bible out of the schools and they are preaching evolution and so on. That you know, it's our duty as believers to proclaim. If they can be so bold to declare lies, how much more shall we bold that to declare the truth? Praise the Lord. See? So the creation of man, out of the dust, God created man. Down the road, there was a need for companionship for Adam. So although Adam was having an interesting and delighted time in the garden, it was a beautiful place, like I said before. The Bible said the trees were delighted. They were pleasant to be looked upon. Very, very beautiful and so on. Nothing like it today and so on. So anyway, he was enjoying those things. Yet at the time went by, he began to feel a need for companionship, you know, of his own kind. Yeah, he enjoyed naming the animals and everything, but we know that something in him craving for a companionship and so forth, you know. He suffered exactly that all the animals he was sending to had their own mates. But as for him, Bible said there was not found and help meet for him. That's Genesis 2:20. Bible says so and so on. Among all the animals he had seen and named, he found none that were on equal footing with him at all. They were inferior to him. Praise the Lord. Man is the head of God's creation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, for example, all those animals walk on their fours. Amen. But he be a dignified and made in the image of God. I mean, stood upright. Praise the Lord. Well, the beast, of course, we won't go to him right now, but you know, Asan and Antonio. So not only that, Adam observed that the animals walk on all fours and did not assume the erect position of being a human being and so on. And why we can imagine this thing going on in Adam, every other animal as he look, they have their own meat and so on. So, of course, God has a plan for him anyway. So God knew that man, whom he has created, is to be or was to be a social creature. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God knew all those things that were going to read the mind of Adam. We just kind of read between the lines and see what's going to read the mind of Adam. But now we have to see the mind of God. God already knew all those things before he created him, that man will be a social creature, you know. So God knew it to be contrary to man, to his nature, to live by himself alone. God knew all that. Praise God. There are in his heart, in the heart of man that he created, potential emotion that may only be called for in the family life. That's how God created it, and God knew those things. And God will not fail in giving those things. Woman, as God made her, is the counterpart of man. And the two respond to each other. That is God's design of the human race, you know. So the time has arrived now when God will give Adam a help meet for him. That account is written in Genesis 2. Talking about the creation of man. And let all four signs go down to hell. The word of God shall abide forever. Praise the Lord. See? Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed off the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. How did he know that it's the bone of his bone? Either God told him or he knew by revelation, amen? Because he was deeply asleep. Praise the Lord. So, you see? So, and therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the Bible tells us, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. they were clothed with the Shekinah glory of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one day, the saint of God, we shall receive a glorified body. Amen? Amen. Anyway, so the question may be asked now, why God did not create Eve at the same time as he created Adam? Why didn't he do that? You know, where is God Almighty, right? You know what is best. Well, we know this for sure. The Lord has a purpose in mind. He didn't do anything without a purpose. He had a purpose in why he delayed the creation of the woman. For one, we can be sure, God foreknew that a man needs a period of singleness before he takes upon himself the responsibility of a mate. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's one of the God's wisdom. You know, he needs a period of singleness before he takes on that responsibility and so forth. It was wisdom to wait until Adam's need of a companion was fed. He wanted to feel it before he does it. And so he can value it. Praise the Lord. See? So, when this need, I was awakening Adam now, God put him into a deep sleep, as we read, in preparation for what you and I will call or consider to be a delicate operation. Praise God. So God put him to sleep, a deep sleep and so on and that, you know. What was it? So the deep sleep was no doubt induced in Adam for the same reason today, right, medical people here, the same reason they do anesthetic, you call them in the medical thing, so to avoid what? To avoid suffering and inconvenience. So God performed the very, very best first operation, you know. Praise the Lord. See? Maybe the scientist who began this anesthetic thing, maybe he has read the Bible, you don't know. Praise God. And God gave him insight. God gave him insight of how to do things anyway. So we say, for the unconscious Adam. So for the unconscious Adam, the Lord said, or the Lord God Almighty took one of his ribs, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made it a woman, as we read in the Bible and so on. So when I was growing up and so on, primary school, even till today, some people ignorantly say that, the number of ribs in the women are less than the number of ribs in men. And they will say that that's why the woman is weaker than the man. But they were wrong, praise God. Science today has told us, you are all scientists and so on, that you know. Man and woman have the same number of ribs, 12 pairs each, amen? Praise the Lord. So we know that in science. Does that then now contradict the Bible? Bible says it's one of his ribs, right? No. True science won't go against the Bible. The Bible is always right. Now, the way to say that, the word rib in the Hebrew, that word rib in Genesis 21:22, it's the Hebrew word. In Hebrew, it means from the side. Praise the Lord. The Hebrew word is side. What they call rib there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, you see. So, how much of that side of Adam that God took, we don't know. Praise God. He just revealed to you and I what we need to know. Praise the Lord. And there is time in time when we know all things. Right now, we know in part. Amen. We prophesy in part. Praise the Lord. The time is coming when everything, he will explain everything to us as it was, as it's coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That clearly here for that and so that, you know. So, yeah, no less rich in woman than there is man, you know. So, science proved that. And then we went to the Hebrew verse. The Hebrew word for that rich in the Bible is the side, you know, the side and so on. So, could God have created Eve in the same way that he made Adam? Why from Adam? Why did he do that? Why did he just make him like he made Adam? Well, we can't question of God. He could have done it absolutely if he wanted to. But if he did that, then Adam could not have been able to say, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. You know, as he said before and so on. But even more importantly, God did that to bring out an important truth about our redemption. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice, for the side of Adam that he produced Eve. Amen? He knew about the fall. God knew that man will fall. Amen? out of the side of Christ will come the church. Praise the Lord. See, so, but right there in the garden at the beginning, portray that truth. You know, right there, I put it there, something that you know. So, and so the taking of Eve from the side of Adam is a beautiful type of Christ and the church. As Eve was taken from Adam, so Christ's church was taken from his wounded side. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, even in John 19, you know, 34, here is what the Bible says. But you know, on the cross, God foreknew all these things. On the cross, you know, one of the, you know, John 19:34. But one of the soldiers, with his spear, pierced his side, you know, and forthwith came there out blood and water. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. There are so many scriptures, and 37 says, they shall look unto him whom they pierced. Amen. Who, where came that prophecy and so on? In Zechariah, I believe in Zechariah, that's what he was quoting there. The everything about Christ was prophesied ahead of time. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise the Lord. They were all foretold so that when they come to pass, you will know the truth. Praise the Lord. So let's see what the prophet said about the piercing his side. Zechariah 12:10, a digression, but a goodly digression, you know. The more we can know about God's word, the better for us, amen. The more we understand it, the more faith we have, the more confidence we have in the word of God. Here is what the prophet says, Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, God said me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourned for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. What am I saying? So they shall mourn upon, you know, they will look upon me whom they have pierced. Right there on the cross, that Roman soldier took that spear and pierced the side of Christ, just as the prophet said. Praise the Lord. See, it's true. Even talking of the wounding of Christ to bring out the bride and to save, to bring out our redemption. Isaiah 53 told us, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, amen. See, he was wounded. That's the truth. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. So all this about how our prophet said, and the law could have just created Eve the way it did Adam. But it was portrayed the truth of redemption, how the bride of Christ will come out of his side. So, as the flesh of Adam was afterward closed up, Genesis 2:21, so Christ's flesh was healed and raised from the dead to become the head of the church. Praise the Lord. And I can see that in John 20:27. And he appeared many times to the disciples after he rose from the dead. He appeared many times, you know, in the Bible after he rose from the dead. And at one time he appeared to them, and one of them was missing. His name was Thomas. Praise the Lord. And later on, 8 days later, Thomas was present. The Lord appeared again in John 20:27. Then said he unto Thomas, they have told him the Lord has risen from the dead. You will believe. Unless I see him, he said, and put my hand at his side where the truth is there. I can put my hand at the print of the nails in the hand. I won't believe, Thomas said. So, truly enough, 8 days later, the Lord appeared to Thomas, and he told him here, then said it unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. You know what happened there? When he did, oh, my Lord and my God, amen? He asked, not only that Christ was his Lord, but that Christ is God, amen? Praise the Lord. So wonderful things. So again, what was doing in the Garden of Eden, he foresaw the fall, and you know what he was doing, you know? So now, the New Testament later even referenced the same passage in the book of Genesis. That one, you know, in Ephesians 5, verse 30, you know? No, because I read before, he said, for we are members of his body, meaning Christ. of his flesh and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the creation of man in the book of Genesis shows the oneness of man and woman in marriage. So I just show you that why didn't he just create Eve like this Adam? He was looking down at the fall, at the redemption, how he will redeem his people, and how the bride will come out of his wounded of his side. So Adam's side was wounded, and there Eve was brought up. Do you know that when he rose from the dead, that wound was already healed, amen? Praise the Lord. He did not to the third day with a wound, it was healed already. It's the special power of God, amen? Mm-hmm. So just in going, praise God. So the creation of Adam, or of man, in the book of Genesis, shows the oneness of man and woman in marriage. I'm just going through the creation of man, right? In verse 24 of Genesis 2, which I read here again, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Back in Genesis, in the creation of Adam and Eve, right? And this is the scripture, the New Testament, reference again in Ephesians 5:31. The same thing, references back, you know, and in that tell us that, and I read that one also. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Then he concluded, this is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Back in the garden, creation of man and woman, God was portraying what Christ did to the church and the church to Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why he did what he did. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, so let's go forth. Now, being one, like I said, man and woman should be the one according to God's divine purpose. There was a book written in 1955 by a Christian woman. Her name was Edith Dean. And she wrote the book. The name is called, the book's name is All the Women of the Bible. He took from Genesis and he wrote about all the women in the Bible, 1955. And there are some interesting things he wrote about Eve. I want to read. We are saying and just saying the purpose of God in creation of man and woman, there should be one and something that you know. And I read, according to Edith Dean, her book is called All the Women of the Bible, published in 1955. And she said, man and woman, being made for each other, are not all that God intended them to be until they are together. See, that was the voice this woman wrote, a Christian woman. Marriage, according to her, is much more than a civil contract. It is a divine institution, she wrote. Praise God. She went on to say this. In the Genesis account, you read back to Genesis, amen? You have to do it. If you're a Christian and a believer. In the Genesis account, Eve is elevated to ethereal beauty and lofty dignity as a great sculptor might strike a beautiful figure out of Tyrian marble. By poet and artist alike, she, meaning Eve, has usually been pictured with gleaming golden hair, with a face celestial in loveliness, and a form strong and immortal, she wrote. All of the great epochs in a woman's life, her marriage, mating, and motherhood unfold in all of their completeness in the Genesis account of Eve. You know, she wrote, as she continued. The family too, with all its joys and heartbreaks, comes into being with Eve as center of it. In Eve, she said, all the elemental questions of life, birth and death, even sin and temptations are shown in their human dimension, she wrote. Praise God. Remember to the Genesis account and so on, about Eve and women and how man and woman should be together and so on. That, you know. The effect upon Adam, of course, go back to our story in the creation. The effect upon Adam after the Lord presented him with his bride was extraordinary. His love for Eve was so great. And they start to say, this truth, that it was to jeopardize his loyalty to God. He so much loved Eve, and sadly enough, it was so much that he had to jeopardize his relationship with Christ and with God as well as that, you know. You all know the story of the fall. So anyway, it's in the creation of man. At creation, man was given dominion over the earth. Showing you the creation, whom man was when God created him, what dominion God gave him. So the Lord gave him a special blessing, you know, to mankind. Gave him. We are told that the Lord, after creating them, male and female, he said, gave them dominion over the earth. So how God created man, here he is today and here he will be tomorrow, you know. So Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image. So not from the beast, not from apes, amen? In very God's own image, the Son. Praise the Lord. So, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. He repeated it, so no man makes a mistake. In the image of God, created he in. Male and female, created he there. So what do we learn from this? This unfolds a high destiny for mankind in the divine plan. God had he has a high destiny for man in his divine plan. Being made, first of all, in the image of God, man had a tremendous role laid out before him, involving almost infinite possibilities. Amen? The ability of God was in him. Praise the Lord. Infinite possibilities God laid before man at the creation of man. He was to have dominion over the whole earth. He was positioned as the vice regent of creation. And thus, he was to subdue the earth and bring it under his subjection. That is God's plan, amen? Praise the Lord. Moreover, God commanded the man and the woman thusly. Verse 28, Genesis 1. Be fruitful, the Lord said, and multiply. You know, we went dabbing, being fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Remember in the original creation, when we talked about the creation of the world and something like that, you know, something was here before Adam, right? I don't want to go into that one right now. So that went, that was destroyed and so on because of pollution and corruption and all that. Anyway, multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, the Bible said, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God gave man dominion at the creation. What happened? Man lost the dominion. But the good news is this, Christ restored the dominion. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Adam sinned, he not only lost his dominion, but he apparently transferred that dominion to Satan. What is double tragedy? He lost it, not only that, he transferred to the arch enemy of God and the arch enemy of man. That's what he did, you know? And we can see that truth in the New Testament, in the incident of the devil's temptation of the Lord. That Adam not only lost the dominion, but he transferred it legally to Satan, the archenemy of man and God. In Luke 4:5, the Bible knows here what the devil said and so on. And the devil, taking him, meaning the Lord, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, the Lord, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of death. For that, here is where I'm going. For that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. Who delivered it to him? Adam, when he sinned. Praise the Lord. It is the truth. And some of that, you know. So anyway, the Lord, of course, rejected this temptation, and by his obedience to the divine will, eventually won back this dominion that Adam had forfeited back to us. It took me a long time to get all the scripture in there about the redemption and restoration of things to us. So I'm going to skip that one, but we know the Lord restored the dominion back to man, you know, as in a redemption. Now, one of the things we saw in the Genesis account of the creation of man is this. fellowship with God. So giving is beautiful and fascinating and lovely wife Eve. Adam's cup of joy, you can see him, was full to overflowing. Eve's peculiar grace and charm were fragrant in Adam's in Adam that gave him a happiness which he had never even known before. We can read it from there. So much so that he even jeopardized how he relates to God and so how much he loved her and so on. Now, talking of fellowship, in the evening, the Lord will meet them for fellowship in the evening at the cool of the day. There were many things that were mystery to them. I think they just find themselves, they just wake up one day and find themselves upon the face of the earth. They have questions to ask, right, of all the things around them. So the Lord will come in the evening like that. You can imagine it. And so many things were a mystery to them. And the darkness had, they had numerous questions about things around them. They want to ask the Lord. We may believe that the Lord taught them as a father teaches his child. Maybe the Lord told them of their high destiny as take a word that they have been made in his own very image. And God will tell them all those kind of things. That though they were at present overseers of the garden, the Lord would have shown them that, look, all the earth is your domain. Praise the Lord. That told them that all the earth is your domain. Though you are judging outside the garden now, but you have to rule over all the earth. You know, it's your domain. So, and then God told them something. So now the fall is coming now. God has told them something that is very, very stolen. The Lord warned them of what not to do. In verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. While we can't go into the details right now of all that happened in those two verses, all we know that there was a disobedience involved. Praise the Lord. And alas, at the very height of their happiness, this warning was disregarded. And in consequence, they will be uprooted from the garden, from Edenic paradise. They were ejected and driven out upon the face of the earth. That is before. They were driven out. Bible says, now, the Lord put cherubim with swords at the gate of the garden and so on, that, you know. So was the creation of man and the fall got in there. But God had a plan of redemption, amen. And the Lord has executed the plan of redemption. Man is so created that to be happy, he must be active. So the Lord Jesus came and has redeemed us. In fact, in Galatians 3, I don't have it here, 13 verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, amen. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed the human race. Whosoever we accept him, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And today, the church, having been redeemed, those who have received the Christ, we are looking for the coming of the Lord, right? We are going to have similar experiences like Adam had originally, you know, and such things as God having fellowship with them and something like that, you know. So like Adam, in the after the rapture, many things will take place in our life after the rapture. I'll just give a hint right now from the scripture. So man, as we know, is created to be happy only when it's active. So as you have seen in Adam, he was given things to do in the garden, to dress the garden and to keep it. So and we saw Adam took inventory of the animals and even named them. So mankind was given dominion over the earth and subdue it, like we read. All these were ordained before the fall. God ordained all this before the fall, before Adam was even fallen and so on. After the fall, the decree was still in force, only with a difference. All those things God ordained for man to have dominion over the earth and all these things, they are still in force, only with a difference. You know, as well as you know. Now, the ground was caused with thistle and thorn, like I read before. And Adam was to eat bread with sweat of his face, like I read before. In other words, man, while under the curse, will be compared to labor to the point of weariness. That's the difference. Before the fall, he tended the garden with delight. There was no thorn or thistle and so on. But under the curse now, there were thorn and thistle and so on, that, you know. And the Adam was to eat bread with the sweat of his face. So that means that he was compared to labor to the point of weariness to rest his living from a redundant soil, you know, maybe that the dry time, that the unfertilized soil and so on, they are now investing all kinds of things to make the soil to produce. He and the woman will suffer sorrow and pain in a world caused with sin. Then God intervened in the redemption. So God's redemptive plan now involves the removal of the curse, and he did. After the rapture, now we are looking for the coming of the Lord. So I'm transitioning to the coming of the Lord right now. After the rapture, we will be given things to do ourselves. We have read stories about people, what people think we'll be doing after the rapture. Something will just be floating in the air, or just play half all day long, and so on, that, you know, and be singing, children picking flowers in heaven, and so on, that, you know. But God has more plans than that for us, amen? Praise the Lord. So he created us to be people, to be active, you know. And in heaven, when we are translated, it won't be any different. So, and let's see some of the things we'll be doing. The only thing is this, walk in the coming age will no longer be a matter of toil and sweat, amen? We'll be walking, but the curse has been removed, right? It won't be a matter of, you know, of toil and sweat. Our glorified body, see, will not be subject to pain and weariness. No more heat, amen? We'll receive a glorified body, praise the Lord. See? So, we are facing the future effect, what is coming soon, at the time of the coming of the Lord. Our service to the Master will be a happy and joyous activity because the curse is removed, you know. So perhaps some of us will have a short training, you know, like in preparing us for the millennium. See, talking about what will happen to us in the rapture. You know, we're not going to be idle. No more that Adam was idle when he was created, even in the perfect state. So we too, when we are raptured, we see that from the Bible, we'll not be idle. God didn't make us to be idle, we're going to be active. So it could be preparing us for the duties which will be appointed to each of us during the millennium. Our development and training on heart is a preparation for the time to come. Don't take it lightly. By preparing here, what you do here, God may make use of there in the ages of ages to come, really. You don't know. So the lessons we learn here will serve as a good stead for us in the time to come. I'm just putting this line items here without putting the scriptures in there to save time. The more we develop in godly wisdom here, right now, and knowledge in this life, the better we shall be fitted for our place in the world to come. True enough, you know. So, and it will, I can be speculating right now to attempt to determine just what our training will look like, you know, when we are raptured. But we know from the Bible, you know, it will be a time of preparation for the millennium. It will prepare us. The Bible reveals that we shall participate, for example, in the displacing of Satan from the heavenlies, for example. And after that, in the defeat of the Antichrist before the ushering in of the millennium. So, and beyond that, we will be, you know, our duty, we will learn about our duties in the 1,000-year millennium. It will teach us things about what we will be doing in the millennium. For the overcomers, we shall rule with him and reign with Christ during that period. In Revelation 2:26, for example, I'm highlighting to us that in the rapture, when we are raptured, that a brief period of time when we are raptured and the 1,000 millennium, and we are pointing to that we will not be idle in that time, as some will think. God will train us, he will give us instructions and so on, that, you know. And the overcomers in Revelation 2:26, for example, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. Can you see now, Adam had dominion in the beginning, right? Dominion, right? Praise the Lord. So at the end of time, the overcomers, God has not removed that intention. So the overcomers and so on, they had the rule over the nation. Even the Old Testament prophet in Psalm 149, he told us that too, you know. But they're going to have the same dominion at the end of time. And the Bible says in verse 30, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be taken to Sheba, even as I have received of my Father. So in the rapture, when we are raptured, we believe God will teach us many things. He show us many, like he taught Adam in the cool of the day, and God will be instructing us of many, many things to do. And what we will be doing, prepare for the millennium. What we will do during the millennium and so on, that you know. And you know what? We have fellowship with Adam, right? We are going to have eternal fellowship with Christ when we are raptured, amen. Our fellowship with him will be eternal. Praise the Lord. Now, if you give me scripture, well, for the apostles, they will have some work to do. In Matthew 19:28, the apostles, for example, they will sit upon thrones, reigning over the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That is Matthew 19:28 and so on, that you know. So we don't know all we'll be doing, but we know we'll not be idle. What are we saying? Whatever you are doing on the earth, do it as unto the Lord, amen? Do your work as unto the Lord. You never know how God will make use of what efforts to put on in this world, how much of it you use in the world to come. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, why would he say do it as unto the Lord? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that as we fellowship with them in the cool of the day, that Bible say our fellowship is with the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, right? We don't have an eternal fellowship. In John 14, the Bible says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, amen. Never ever to be separated from him anymore. Praise the Lord. And in John 14, talking of the overcomers, the first fruit, rapture, people and so on, the Bible says that they will go with him whithersoever he goes, amen. Oh, what a glorious time to look into, amen. Today is glorious because we are in Christ, amen. But there's coming a more glorious time when we are taken away from this corrupt, you know, deceived world, you know, and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we just went through the creation. We have to speak these things everywhere we go, once in a while, and just to really expose the devil, the liar, and false science, and something like that, you know, and then we can serve the Lord acceptably. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then we went through, you know, the fall. We didn't talk so much about it. We talked about the redemption, and we have been redeemed, and something like that, you know, and the coming of the Lord, and how God will all over again, as he have fellowship with Adam in the garden, we're going to have with him eternal fellowship, amen. And you know, we're going to be with him forever and ever in the ages of ages. It's worth serving the Lord with gladness, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That a great reward is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So wherever you go, when you see the falsehood, bring in the light, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't fall for the falsehood. Bring in the light. You are the light of the world, amen. Let your light so shine that men will see that light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a glorious thing to speak, O Lord God, the glorious things you have done in our creation, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are the head of your creation, and you said we should subdue the earth unto ourselves, Lord. You give all the truth we needed, Lord, and we thank you. Because you made us in your own image, and you forgive about the fall. When the fall came about, the wicked one, that was the end. But you now show forth your plan of redemption. And you came back here, O Lord God, and took our place. Lord, seeing that you created in flesh and blood, you yourself take the form of flesh and blood. That may be the true kinsman redeemer. And you have redeemed us unto yourself, you know, with your own blood. Lord, we thank you today. We worship and we adore you, Lord. That is the message you are getting the world to understand and to know, that as many as we believe will be saved. And we thank you for giving us understanding of these things and having saved us and having washed us in your blood. We thank you. To the point now that we are waiting and looking, you know, for your return again, even as it's promised in the scripture. So we pray for the young generation, Lord, who have been taught falsehood in the schools. Lord, that know that we still have mercy. Know this door of grace before it closes finally, Lord, that many will be drawn as if by fire in the name of the Lord Jesus to the truth of the living God. Lord, only your word will abide forever, Lord. So we pray for the young generation that who have been taught the wrong things and satanic doctrine, doctrine of devils, that, Lord, the truth will continue to expand, the truth of the true creation of how you made man in the name of the Lord Jesus. That man should not worship idols or himself, but you turn to the living God. Lord, grant it, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. And those of us who have had mercy upon us, who have run, you know, O Lord God, you know, unto you for safety, you know, from the distress that is going to come in the world, enable and energize your people. No, then forth, O God, that mighty anointing and great, that great revival in the name of Jesus, that you energize the church, Lord, for the last harvest upon the face of the earth, to gather the remnant, the remaining of your people from all the corners of the earth, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Boldness to seek the word, boldness to preach the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let it come upon your people, even in the early church today. Pray that you may give unto your servant boldness to declare thy word. That boldness is needed in the church today, Lord. Grant unto us, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not only us here, but all over the world where your body is named, Lord. Father, in the almighty name of Jesus. That they must know that thou art the true and the living God. That you are alive now and forevermore. Lord, we thank you again. It's a delight to always read your word. Lord, enter there and bring us life. The lamp unto our feet. As we go this morning, Lord, let us know, O Lord God, the responsibility, the dominion that we have in Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and begin to appropriate them. We are not beggarly elements anymore. We are the children of the living God. We are even going to judge the world in the time to come. We will even judge angels according to the scriptures. You have restored, you have redeemed us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you have crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Let us go daily with our head lifted up, Lord, and walk as kings and priests of the living God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are no longer under the fall. We have been redeemed, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we declare, let them say so, the Bible says, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. As we go this morning, Lord, Noah, having another peeping into whom we are, the redeemer of the law, then we go with all boldness. The righteous shall be as bold as the lion in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spiritual boldness, and even physical boldness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Knowing that greater is that is in us than that is in the world. So we go therefore here, out of here with joy. As we go, let us find favor, Lord, everywhere we turn, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless, O Father, the work of our hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lord, we receive in the name of our Lord Jesus. Cause men to give to our bosom, in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus, because we have been redeemed by the blood of the everlasting covenant, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Lord God, open for your children the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour us a blessing that we shall have no room to receive, Lord. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, but he left all that riches in heaven and became poor and took on our poverty, that through your poverty we might be rich, spiritually and materially. Grant unto us and all your people, Lord, in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus. Supply all the need, O Lord, represented here this morning, in the name of the Lord. Lord, Father, you say, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Whatever is tapping the joy of your children this morning, any and every one of us, no matter what it might be, Lord, we command it to get out of our way, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father said that our joy may be full, and we stop at nothing less than that, in the name of the Lord Jesus. All by faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus. All by faith, in the name of Jesus. So we receive this morning, Father, and that we order our steps. You promise us step by step, because our way will be open before us step by step. You will guide us with your eye, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, in the mighty name of Jesus. The Spirit of truth, Lord, you know, is to abide with us forever. Help us never to forget that He is with us. You have taken your abode in us, Lord. Help us to tune in 24/7 in the mighty name of Jesus. And we shall daily receive divine guidance in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus. He will show us things to come, Lord. He will put us in remembrance of your word in our meditations in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, O Lord God, Father, account us worthy. When all these things are said and done, in the coming of the Lord, as we know it is very nigh, we know because the Bible says so. The way we know anything is because the scripture says so. In the mighty name of Jesus, we don't cook up anything. We are told in the book of James, the coming of the Lord dreads nigh. That is enough for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And you said the book of Revelation 3:10, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. You don't want to be take your word lightly, Lord. We take you for what it is, Lord. So we thank you. Account us worthy to escape all this judgment that is coming, Lord, in the name of you, and to stand blameless before you, even at your coming. And I thank you for blessing us, Lord. And we believe every need represented here is will be supplied in the name of Jesus, even as we go this morning. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. In the almighty name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, you said, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health. So, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we will be in health and we will be in prosperity according to the word of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. And we will take nothing less in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you and we worship you, Lord. Until we meet again, Father, let us meet again. If the Lord tarries, Lord, with greater testimonies, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, talking about exploits that have wrought by our hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship and adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone, for coming.